Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important, to the fastest growing, and indeed the largest segment of society. To those who know that all of the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they've grown to be counterproductive, and that they can no longer be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion at any time over the next 3 hours, is 877-300-7645. I have so much respect for the man who is joining us from Europe that I drove almost 18 hours yesterday to complete my cross-country journey so that I could welcome him, because his voice is the most important, I think, in the world today to listen to regarding the world's most treacherous menace. He is IQ Al-Rasuli. He has written 3 books, Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. Hello, IQ. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
IQ, I understand that you've heard of Putin issuing an ultimatum to Muslims regarding their Quran. Could you share what you believe he has said and what the consequence is going to be?
According to the translations of his talk or speech, by the way, it's on Google. If somebody wants to disprove or believe or not believe, it's on Google. All they've got to do is Google Putin, Quran, condemnation of Quran or...
What I'll do for our listeners is that on our Facebook page for the show, we will we'll find a English translation of his speech, and we'll post it on the Facebook/Shattering Myths site.
By the way, for over a year now, many of the judges in Russia, in certain provinces, have outlawed many of the books of Islam, like Bukhari Hadith, Muslim Hadith. You know them, the titles, you know them.
Right.
Because they incite Muslims against non-believers. That means incite Muslims in Russia against the majority Russian population. So he has told them...
Before you share what he has told them, I want to frame your presentation. I'm going to give you all the time you want. I just want to frame your presentation by stating 2 things which I think are important. The first of those is that I have changed my approach to Islam over the last year. You probably are aware of that, IQ, where I now believe that the only solution to Islam is to declare it illegal and to isolate it, to quarantine Islam, to declare it illegal for a single reason, that its scriptures are a declaration of war against all humankind, that they advocate rape, pedophilia, robbery, bearing false witness, that they are the primary inspiration of terrorism in the world. And because those things are all crimes, as is its advocacy of the slave trade and of kidnapping for ransom, that Islam needs to be rendered illegal. It is a criminal doctrine. And that once we declare it illegal, then we need to realize that the only way to prevail is to isolate it. So we no longer do business with Muslims, we don't buy their oil, and we most certainly do not sell their weapons. So that's first, and that's a huge departure from where I have previously been, because I think the time has come that there are no other viable options. And second, I think Putin is the most sane voice in world politics today.
I support what you said 100%, because it's a logical result of what we have studied in years. All our studies prove one thing, that the greatest enemy to human civilization in the 21st century and the greatest enemy to humanity for the last 1400 years is fundamentalist Muhammadan Islam, with or without weapons of mass destruction. 9/11.
When you say fundamental Islam too, we want to be really clear. We're not talking about our interpretation of Islam. We're not talking about a terrorist interpretation of Islam. We're not talking about an Al-Qaeda or Islamic State interpretation of Islam. We're talking about the Islam of Muhammad, the only Islam there is, the Islam of the Quran, the Islam of the Hadith, the Islam of the founders of the religion.
And that is exactly why I use the word fundamentalist. Right. That is the fundamentals of their belief system.
Correct. Okay, can you tell me what is Putin's challenge?
The idea is that he gave the imams and mullahs of Russia, the Federation, 3 months to decide how not to recite the verses of the Quran which incite Muslims against their neighbors. Now, you know and I know this is an impossibility. They cannot do it.
Correct.
I mean, it is literally a negation of Islam, full stop.
Well, you...
Let
me just put this in perspective.
It would not
have a significant influence on the first 80-some surahs of the Quran, those that were allegedly revealed in Mecca. Because during that time, Muhammad was just a mean, demon-possessed, irritable nincompoop. And all of that, the verses there are either plagiarized from the Babylonian Talmud or they're Muhammad's ranting against his neighbors, the Meccans. And since the Russians don't care how angry Muslims are at the Meccans, it is only the surahs that were allegedly revealed in Medina that matter. And if you deal with those, you would have to eliminate almost everything that is in every Medina surah to meet Putin's request.
That's the destruction of almost 28 surahs.
Right.
Which are the fundamentals.
They're the longest surahs too, aren't they?
Yes. Because they are the fundamentals of Islam. This is exactly what ISIS believes in. This is exactly what Osama bin Laden believes in. This is exactly what Boko Haram believes in. And this is exactly what every so-called terrorist organization on planet Earth believes in.
Let's put this in perspective. The 8th surah of the Quran. It was allegedly revealed. We say allegedly because you and I, having studied the Quran, having studied the Hadith, having studied Muhammad, thoroughly recognize there is nothing in the Quran that was revealed from God, and that all of the Quran Muhammad made up. Now, that being the case, the 8th surah was allegedly revealed to exonerate Muhammad and his fellow Muslims for one particular act. What was that act, and why did Muhammad think he needed the 8th surah to exonerate his behavior? No, the 8th surah. The 8th surah is not about Qaeda.
Al-Anfal. It justifies the spoils of war.
Yes, but it was written to justify Badr. The attack of... That was Muhammad's first real terrorist attack. It was the first time that Muhammad used terrorist tactics to attack the civilian caravan and stole their property, mutilated and murdered many of the civilians, kidnapped others, and had to have justification for stealing and doing all of this in what was the pagan holy month. And so while Kabar was a terrorist raid, the 8th surah was all about justifying kidnap, murder, stealing, armed robbery, and acts of terrorism. How can Muslims take it out of the Quran?
You can't take it out. You cannot take a single verse from the Quran without destroying the Quran, according to that tradition.
So let's go to the 9th surah. The 9th surah was written because Muhammad Muhammad realized he had overhunted Jews, that there were no more Jews to plunder, to rob, to kidnap, to rape, to sell into slavery. He had overhunted Jews. There were no more Jews. And so Muhammad needed a new victim, and he decided that the only victim that had anything worth stealing were the Byzantines. And the Muslims didn't want to go raid the Byzantines because they actually had an army. And Muhammad had never fought against an army. He had always used terrorist tactics against civilians. And so the Ninth Surah is written entirely to tell Muslims that if you're not a jihadist, you're no longer a Muslim. How do you take that out of the Quran?
Well, you can, but the Quran is destroyed. It's not the Quran anymore. In fact, anything you take from the Quran which is viable destroys the Quran.
Doesn't the Quran say that it is a perfect book, that it's that it was written by Allah at the world's formation, and that it's word for word, letter for letter, the perfect revelation from God? Doesn't it make that claim?
Well, that's what it claims. But yeah. God and Allah are not one and the same.
Okay, well, we know that. So, but with that claim, how does anyone take anything out of the Quran and do so and remain a Muslim?
He can't. That's exactly why Putin is doing it.
Yes.
He knows it cannot be done. So he gave them a choice to stay or to leave Russia.
Right. Now, the nincompoops in America, and America has more nincompoops than maybe any country in the world, are going to scream and say, well, why don't you force Christians to take out the violent verses of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms? Anyone who has read them would recognize there isn't a single godly order in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms to go off and kill anyone today, to rob anyone, to rape anyone, to bear false witness, to kidnap, to enslave. There's not a single line in it. There were when the Israelites returned to the promised land, the behavior of the four or five communities, their religious practices and political practices were so disgusting, they were so infected. God said, I want you to rid this land of those four or five cities. Do those cities exist?
Nope.
Nope. So there isn't a single instruction from God to go out and terrorize anyone, torture anyone. You couldn't find one to remove from the Torah, prophets, and Psalms.
Nor can you find any in the New Testament. Not a single one.
No. Now, the New Testament's a horrible book from my perspective, but there isn't a single violent statement other than Paul claiming to be a murderer. But he doesn't ask his followers to go off and murder. So there isn't a single statement in the so-called Christian New Testament that would also have to be changed to accommodate this demand of Islam. So if Muslims, which they will, say, well, then you have to have Christians change their Bible, there's nothing to change. It appears, IQ, that Putin and the courts in Russia, and there's a court in Russia that has just banned the most popular, most literal translation of the Quran. And no copies of it are now considered legal in Russia. You know, what's funny here is that the Muslims in Russia and in Pakistan and in many countries around the world now are threatening to terrorize, threatening violence against Russia. Russia is saying you've got to remove the violent verses from the Quran. That's really funny. But what Putin and the Russian courts have realized is that Islam at its core is incompatible with civilization. It's incompatible with a peaceful nation. It's incompatible with justice.
It's incompatible with sanity. They are insane. They are totally insane. Any creature who believes that by killing other human beings because they don't believe as they do, and by if they die in the process they get 72 virgins in Muhammad's whorehouse version of paradise, they have to be insane.
I would agree. We also have to be immoral to believe, as the Quran teaches, that sex with captives, which is rape, is acceptable. To believe as God endorses enslaving children and killing civilians for no other reason than they don't agree with your belief system, which the Quran does. To agree with the Quran, which is that kidnapping is an appropriate pursuit, to agree with the Quran, which is to say that you are encouraged to lie when it benefits the religion, you cease to be moral at that point.
But Yada, why are we wasting time? The whole of Muhammadan Islam, the whole of the structure of Islam is an inverted pyramid. Why? Because it rests on one single point, one single dogma. What is the dogma? The dogma is that Allah is the same as the God of the Bible. The minute we can prove beyond a shadow or even a reasonable doubt that Allah is not God, that Allah is Muhammad pretending to be God, Islam is finished. Islam is finished, in fact.
Yes,
because Allah is not God.
That has that pursuit has completely consumed my life since I completed Prophet of Doom. You know, in Prophet of Doom, I did the second part of what you talked about. I presented the Quran in chronological order, by using the Hadith so that it was set into the context of Muhammad's life. And what that does, when you take the chronological Hadith collections, which are the basis of Islam, the Quran's really not the basis of Islam, it's the Hadith. When you use the Hadith, the chronological Hadith, to set the Quran in chronological order, because right now it's just a jumbled mess, what you find is that every single verse in the Quran is a situational statement revealed for the purpose of facilitating Muhammad's personal lust for sex, power, and money. And that there's not a word in the Quran that doesn't serve that interest.
Yada. In my books, I called it made-to-order revelations.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they were. Made-to-order revelations. He recited them, telling his followers, who were, of course, illiterate and superstitious and not with intelligence, of too much intelligence, that they honestly believed that he was being, informed by the angel Gabriel from Allah.
Yeah.
That's it.
And of course, it's laughable.
Situational.
Yeah, it's laughable.
As I said, made to order.
Right. Muhammad had to justify his horrid character. He was a terrorist. He was a mass murderer. He was sadistic. He was dishonest. He was a kidnapper. He was a slave trader. He was a pedophile. He was incestuous. He was a rapist. Those are not our interpretation. Those are the facts. He was amongst the most perverted men who ever lived. And so the whole Quran exists to justify Muhammad's pathetic life.
Yada, let me tell you something else. In all my talks and in the prologue to my book, I said, the Quran is Muhammad's alter ego, his autobiography.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
When Muhammad, you know, it's interesting. First, the progression of Muhammad's gods, and then the use of the first person plural, we, throughout the Quran. So when we return to the next segment, I want to talk with the IQ about the progression from the God of the Quran being a Lord, and we're going to talk about who the Lord is according to the real God. Then what that name transitioned to become, Rahman, and then to Allah, and then we. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're having a conversation with IQ Al-Rasuli. IQ, let's follow up on our parting topic. In the first Quran revelations, the God of Islam is referred to as the Lord. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, in Arabic it's called Rab, R-A-B, Rab, yes, Lord.
Rab, yeah, Lord. According to Yahweh, who happens to be God, that is God's one and only name. According to Yahweh, the term Lord is Satan's name and Satan's title. And it's Satan's name and Satan's title because Satan wants to lord over and control and to possess men and women and their souls. And so God never wants the term Lord associated with him. Now, if you're a Christian, you have been bamboozled by errant translations. So that's point one. So he begins by referring to his spirit friend as the Lord, which according to the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, according to Yahweh, is Satan. Then he even names surahs where he says that the name of God is Rahman. Rahman was the god of the Hanafs, was he not?
Yes, he He was, in fact, the god of the Yemenites.
Yes, you, the Hanifson in Yemen. Right.
Mm-hmm. In Yemen, absolutely. He was the god. In fact, this is one of the verses that Muhammad wrote. Some of the Quraysh said, what is he talking about? What god is he talking about?
Right, exactly. So he actually says in the Quran, in early surahs, that the name of the Islamic God, the name of his God, is Rahman, right. And that is the name of a Yemenite, pagan Yemenite rock god, correct?
Correct. Correct.
All right. All right. Now, he never changed the name of his God to Allah, which is, by the way, a name. It is not the Arabic word for God. Ilah is the Arabic word for God. It is Allah as a name. He didn't change the name of his God until he moved to Yathrib, today's Medina, when he was far enough away from the rock pile called the Kaaba and its largest stone, Allah, to be able to use that name without something being expected of the nearby rock god, like for it to roll over or something. So Allah is actually a relatively recent name in terms of Muhammad's Quran recitals.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. So it starts with the Lord, who is Satan. It goes to Rahman, who is a Yemenite Hanif god. And then it moves some 80 surahs into this whole fiasco to Allah at the end. Now, throughout the Quran, when Muhammad is reciting these alleged surahs, they're all we, are they not? We this, we that.
Correct.
We say, we do, you follow our orders, you obey us, you terrorize for us, you kill for us. It's all we. All first person plural.
Correct.
And isn't that because Allah and Muhammad are one?
Are the same. Exactly. One and the same. They are one and the same. Even in the mosques, they have Allah written the same height and exactly the same size as Muhammad.
Of course.
Exactly the same size, exact same height.
I checked on the court ruling on the Quran translation that has been banned. And I don't want our listeners to think for a moment that this is some obscure, whacked out translation of the Quran. The translation they want to ban is any translation that is published by the King Fahd Foundation for printing of the Quran and Medina. My Quran, it's the Noble Quran, which is the Quran that I used most prolifically in Prophet of Doom, because it is the most literal translation of the Quran available anywhere in the world. It is the most common and popular translation of the Quran. Regardless of what language, that is the Saudi Arabian official Quran that is in virtually every mosque of everywhere in the world. That's the number one most popular Quran in the world. It's the one, when you look, it's got the black cover and it's got the gold script in the front of it. It is, we're talking about here, not an obscure translation, but the translation that's approved by the royal family of Saudi Arabia, that is printed in Medina, and that is the single most authentic, authorized, beloved, endearing translation of the Quran in the world.
And, of course, it happens to be the most vile.
Of course. Oh, no, the more accurate you are, the worse it becomes.
The more vile it is.
Right.
Yeah, you mind if you give me 3 minutes?
Sure. Please.
To prove to our listeners, based on Muhammad's own words, beyond the shadow of a doubt or a reasonable doubt, that Allah is not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. Whether we agree with the Torah and the Injil is irrelevant. We are discussing Islam. Islam says the Torah and the Injil are the foundations upon which it built itself.
So that we understand, Torah is a transliteration. Most of the Quran is actually written in Hebrew. The Arabic alphabet is Hebrew. The Quran transliterates the Hebrew word Torah. I think it calls it Torat, but it's Torah, which is the Hebrew word for teaching and instruction. Injil is just a dunderhead, poor transliteration of euangelion, which is the Greek word that was which means beneficial message. And that's what he's calling the so-called Christian New Testament is the Injil from euangelion.
The image of the Gospels in his case, anyway.
Yeah, euangelion, Gospel's a made-up word. Euangelion, the Greek word euangelion is you, and it's a compound of you, which means good, beneficial, and healing. And agelos, which is the Greek word for messenger. So it's a it's the good message or good or healing messenger. And he just butchered his transliteration. It's very much like the stupidity of Muhammad when he's talking about the individual that he wants to present as Christians would know as Jesus. His actual name is Yahusha. And as he wants to present him in his Quran, he and his wannabe God are so stupid, they actually call him Esau, which is a transliteration of Esau, which is the person that God declares in his Torah that he hates. So, I mean, it's the whole book is just is so stupid. But go ahead. Why don't you help our listeners understand that Allah is not Yahweh?
Very simple. Start with case one. Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 46. Mm-hmm. Muhammad, it's his own words, people. Whoever is listening, it's his own words. It says, and in their footsteps, we, Allah, sent Jesus, the son of Mary, confirming the Torah, the law of Moses, that had come before him. We sent him the Gospels, Injil. Therein was guidance and light and confirmation of the Torah that had come before him. Ladies and gentlemen, let me explain to you the inherent implications of this verse. First item, Allah proclaims in perfectly clear Arabic, this was he who revealed the Torah, or Torah, which are the first five books of the Bible, comprising Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy to Moses. Allah said that.
By the way, the Quran is the antithesis, the absolute opposite of that message. They aren't somewhat similar. They aren't just a little bit different. They aren't, maybe it's a different interpretation. No, we're talking about the Quran is the literal, if the Torah, from my perspective, is pure white, the Quran is the absence of light. It is pure black. They have nothing in common, including the fact that in the Torah, Yahweh says, my name is Yahweh. It is my only name. It is the only name I want to be referred to. And any god by any other name is a false god.
Correct. The second part of the verse. This verse also asserts that it was Allah, the God of the Muslims, who also revealed the Gospels, Injil, all four Gospels to Jesus, after confirming Allah's revelation to Moses. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone with two brain cells of logic who knows the New Testament would also know that the Gospels were never revealed to Jesus by anyone.
Right.
Since they were written 50 to 100 years after Jesus was dead and resurrected.
Let's correct some of this here. First of all, it does not say Jesus. It says Esau in the Quran. And so it is. It just points out how stupid Muhammad was. He thinks that the euangelion, Greek text, was revealed to Esau, who had been dead for over 1,000 years, almost 2,000. In fact, 2,000 years at that point. Second of all, the Christian New Testament, half of it is written by Paul. Paul condemns and contradicts the Torah. So you can't have a Christian New Testament affirming the Torah, as the Quran says, when in fact half of the Christian New Testament is written to condemn the Torah. And as you have correctly stated, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Matanya, was actually written by one of the disciples. Was not written by Yosha, was written by one of the disciples. Was written in Hebrew, written probably within 20 to 30 years of Yosha fulfilling Passover matzah, which is unyeasted bread and first fruits, as well as Shabuah, seven Sabbaths. And it is the only one of the four that is even remotely accurate, but it isn't revealed to Yosha. It is Matanya who witnessed Yosha revealing to us what Yosha said and did. The next two, Luke and Mark, are both hearsay. Not only weren't they given to and written by Yosha, they weren't even written by eyewitnesses. They are hearsays, which is why they're so garbled. And the book by Yohanan was also written by one of the disciples. But the problem with the book of Yohanan is that by the time of Muhammad, there were more variations of it and more edits of it than there were words in it. It's a very unreliable text, and most certainly not given to Yosha. And then you have Paul's letters, which are pure rubbish. We'll be back. Welcome back to Shattering This. IQ Al-Rasuli made a point that is essential for our listeners to understand. Literally the foundation of the Quran, the very credibility of the Quran, rests on a singular claim. And that is that the third God listed in the Quran, Allah, was the God who calls himself Yahweh in the Torah. And that he is the author of the Torah, and that he is the author of what Christians would consider their New Testament. That is the claim of the Quran. That's its credibility, is that claim. And there is a 0% possibility, absolute zero, that claim is true. And so, IQ, once you realize that it is, that there is no way that an informed, rational person can even believe, forget about think or know or conclude, that Allah is the same as Yahweh. Once you come to realize that, then all that matters with Islam, since its foundation is untrue, unreliable, then all that matters is, does it produce beneficial behavior or violent, murderous, terrorist behavior? And to deal with it based on the behavior it inspires. Is that true? IQ?
Yes, exactly what you said. I agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, the other verse that I wanted to mention, which is extremely important, Chapter 4, verse 157. They said, I'm reciting from the Quran that Muhammad authorized. They said, not authorized, authored. They said, we killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the apostle of Allah. But they killed him not, nor crucified him. But so it was made to appear to them, and for a certainty they killed him not. Dear listeners, as I had already demonstrated in case one, the Quran declares that it was Allah who revealed the gospel to Jesus. And we know for a fact this is not true. But all four gospels say that Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected on the third day. Again, yeah, Allah told himself to be stupid.
Actually, they don't say that. They speak of Yosha. There is no name Jesus. There is no reference to anything remotely akin to a cross. The word in Greek is styro, which means upright pillar. Cross is a purely pagan term. So if the Quran mentions cross, then it is errant, because there is no reference to a cross. God cannot die. Yosha did not die. Only his physical body died on the upright pole on Passover, serving as the Passover lamb. Now, because the Quran claims that he did not die, even though it does not know his name, he uses the name Esau to refer to him. To infer that Yosha did not fulfill Passover as the Passover lamb and have his body be sacrificed as the Passover lamb renders the entire story in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms moot. It means Yahweh is an absolute liar. And so when you actually know the details of what actually occurred and what the eyewitness accounts say, and by the way, the best eyewitness accounts of what occurred in terms of the upright pole and the fulfillment of Passover were written 1,000 years before the event, Psalm 22 and Psalm 88, along with Yeshayah, Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. They provide an eyewitness perspective of what actually occurred those 3 days where his physical body was absolutely killed on an upright pole. And he was not physically resurrected, by the way, but he was his soul and Yahweh's spirit were reunited. That was the fulfillment of Book 11. All of that is predicted. All of that is discussed in great detail in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And yet the Quran claims that it never happened.
So my question is simple. If Allah is the same as the God of Jesus, even though Yahweh says that Jesus is not the same, it is irrelevant. Okay. Why? Because that is what they believe.
Right.
And since Allah cannot even predict the past, nor the present or the future, he cannot possibly be God. End of conversation. That's the end of Islam.
Yeah. Yahweh actually tells us, and what Yahusha means, by the way, which is his actual name, Yahusha means Yahweh saves. So God only has one name. It's Yahweh. Yahusha is simply Yahweh saving. It's Yahweh and Yasha, the Hebrew word for salvation. But the bottom line is, what you say is true. Muhammad and his wannabe God don't know Yahusha's name. In fact, they get it wrong. They don't know what occurred. They don't know what he said. They don't know what he did. And they make claims that are the antithesis of all of that. So there's a 0% possibility that the Quran is true. So now let's just deal with the hell it has inflicted on humanity. Thank you, IQ.